Welcome, everybody, to the C&J Speedway Review on this fine Wednesday night. It is great to be home right here Wednesday night doing our thing, albeit a half hour late because parental duties sometimes take precedent over racing. I said sometimes. And one guy that doesn't have to worry about that, me being Chris Burns, I do, but the gentleman sitting across from me in Peabody, Massachusetts, jacking away on his computer trying to find the latest and greatest in NASCAR news, updates, and information. His name is Corey Huffnagel. Corey, how are you doing?
We are doing great. I tell you what, it was a really good weekend out in Dover, and we got to see a lot of exciting racing, and not just on Friday and Saturday, but also Sunday, you know, was also a barn burner as well. And, you know, all I can just say now is, you know, we can't wait to go to the Heartland and see what brings us this weekend.
That's right. Night racing in Kansas, the night before Mother's Day, which will make mothers and girlfriends and wives everywhere very, very happy. You know, there was a time they were running races on Mother's Day and they would parade the moms out. Sometimes it was in Darlington.
Yep.
Sometimes it was elsewhere. I always enjoyed that. However, the lady folk in your life, they're not happy losing you for 3.5-4 hours and then getting you back drunk and sloppy. But
yeah, exactly.
Thank God for the Kansas night race this year. It is going to be fun. But let's knock a few things down. The contest. I'm sorry, I don't have the bucket of gimmicks here right now. The Loken Jabroni Show had a live event last night. I got home. I didn't unload the rig. I came straight in, grabbed a beer, had a beer, went to bed. My apologies to everybody. You will have a live video this weekend when I draw the three names that are eligible to continue in the free Speed Crate contest. Having said that, I want to give a shout-out to new subscriber Skip Perry. Skip is a very wonderful guy. Loves racing. Unfortunately, he loves Jimmy Johnson. And while we were watching the Dover race just this past Sunday, he was telling me, you know, Chris, if you die, I'm going to have to give you heart compressions. It's going to go like this. One, two, three, 48. And then when I blow in your mouth, I'm going to whisper, Jimmy Johnson. So, you know, hello to Skip. I know I played the video of Skip singing his famous I Love Jimmy Johnson song on the C&J Speedway Review page. Go check that out. But the big news on the block right now, rumor and innuendo says that the France family is looking to sell their stake in NASCAR. Corey, what have you heard about this?
Well, I've heard a little bit of detail and not too much of, you know, that I've been doing a little research. But when I first saw that, you know, I'm kind of thinking, okay, something tells me, you know, the France family is thinking about doing this. But then at the same time, you know, they're committed to staying in the sport, you know, for the near future and so forth. But I was actually kind of thinking, like, you know, let's say, like, if the France family does sell the sport, you know, they give it to some big investor, you know, who's worth, like, billions and all that other stuff in between. Then you have to look at all the tracks that are owned by ISC, which is International Speedway Corporation, which is owned by the France family. So let's say, like, you know, a new investor comes in and, you know, some of the ISC tracks, you know, they could be losing their dates in jeopardy. Well, they could probably, like, flip-flop things around. And not to mention, you know, we could have, you know, a schedule shift, you know, possibly maybe like in 2019, 2020, 2021, depending on if this deal, you know, is a go and stuff. And actually what was kind of interesting is Kevin Harvick kind of said, like, you know, if NASCAR does – well, if the France family does sell, you know, NASCAR, you know, think of, like, you know, how big it's going to be, like, you know, with the big investor and how good of a shift the schedule is going to change and whatnot. And actually, you know, we actually want to say, like, you know, I really want to see Iowa get a cup race sometime soon. And, you know, think of, like, all the other tracks that could get, like, you know, cup dates, Xfinity dates, truck dates, whatever, with a new, like, with a new business owner, depending on what he does. But, I mean, just think about it. You know, NASCAR already bought ARCA, so that's pretty much a number one thing that they did on their list. And, you know, now, you know, if the France family does sell the sport, you know, it's going to be very interesting to see how this is all going to play out.
And one of the things you have to remember is that NASCAR has been a family-run entity since the early 40s.
Yeah.
Late 40s, I'm sorry, 1948, I believe. Yeah. So the same family has run NASCAR, the highest level of motorsports in this country, for 60, 70 years. If the France family were to get out, and I know Brian has been itching to do other things, a family-run business, not unlike, say, the New York Yankees or WWE or you know, things like that. Now you get big-time money coming in. Not that there isn't big-time money now, but when you get a serious investor, like when UFC sold, it sold for $4 billion. Now, UFC had already gone, and they'd risen. They'd hit a peak, and they started to drop off a little bit. Here comes a new investor, and now they're just as hot as they were, you know, at their peak. They may even eclipse it. It would be interesting to see what a new ownership would do if Brian France decides to sell NASCAR and all of its holdings outright. Another question is, do they just sell the series, you know, NASCAR, Xfinity Series, Camping World Truck Series, Monster Energy, ARCA, the Wheel and West, et cetera, so forth? Does ISC go with it? That's a question that we're going to have to find out later on. Or does Brian France keep his stake in ISC and make less money than he did before? I'm sure, look, Brian France doesn't need money. He's probably got mattresses full of money that he sleeps on, like Scrooge McDuck.
Yeah.
If anybody's too young to remember that reference, look it up after the show. But there's a lot of great possibilities here. You could also see a shift in the schedule, like you were talking about, where they may pare down the doubles. Let's pare down, you know, Daytona could still have two. Talladega could still have two. Definitely keep Charlotte with the three, being the Roval, the All-Star Race, and the Memorial Day Race. You know, let some of the bigger tracks that can handle 140, 150, 200,000 people, but pare down to where, you know, now you got to pick and choose, and it could be a rotating schedule. This year Dover has two. Maybe next year they have one. New Hampshire has two. Maybe the next year Vegas has two. Maybe they only have one the year after. Atlanta keeps the two. Like you said, let's get Iowa in there. There's a lot of great tracks. I would love to see, as much as I love the Brickyard Race, I would love to see IRP, which is now ORP, O'Reilly Raceway Park. Let the guys get out there in the Cup Series and run ORP. The possibilities are endless. Harvick was right. So, you know, let's wait and see what happens. I know a lot of media outlets are jumping all over this story right now as to what's going to happen. When's it going to happen? Why is it happening? Let the story unfold. Obviously, we're going to cover it every chance we get. Every time a news story comes up, that is what we do. Do you have any other news, rumor, innuendo, or information that you would like to pass along before we start breaking down Dover?
Well, let's just say that there were a number of penalties after the race at Dover, not only in the Cup Series, but also in the Xfinity and the Camping World Truck Series. And I have to tell you, it is a list full of penalties that were given out today. So on the Cup side, penalties were given out to Austin Dillon, Clint Bowyer, and Daniel Suarez. So Bowyer and Suarez had the whole deal with the whole rear window support, which now, you know, didn't get support whatsoever and so forth. Mike Bugger Ravage and Scott Graves were each fined $50,000. And Todd Brew is the car chief for the 19. They're both suspended for the next two races. And the teams are both docked 20 driver points and owner points. Austin Dillon was also penalized for a splitter that did not meet rule specifications and whatnot. Crew chief Justin Alexander was fined $25,000. Car chief Greg Abbott was suspended for the next race, which is coming up in Kansas and so forth. And then, of course, Kurt Busch penalized for unsecured lug nut. You know, we don't need to deal with the whole lug nut thing, is whatever. So all I gotta say is, you know, just tighten the wheels in the next time you get it in there. Because all I could just say is the air guns, they're not really doing their jobs. Because I probably think Harvick was right on that one, so forth. So now the Xfinity series, and this one was a really big one. So not just only the Jeb Burton penalty, which, you know, the splitter didn't meet, you know, specifications and whatnot, and of course in the truck series, Todd Gilliland was, you know, penalized for an unsecured lug nut. But the biggest penalty was the Xfinity team of Justin Allgaier. So not only he ended up winning the race, but they found out today that there was a rear suspension and trailing arm angles that did not support, and something that had to do with the rear end of the car and so forth. So now Justin Allgaier's team was penalized 25 driver points and 25 owner points. Jason Burdette has been fined $25,000 and is suspended for the next two races. And not to mention, Allgaier is not granted a playoff berth for the playoffs coming up in September, and he basically loses five playoff points as well. The team also retained competition benefits, including the $100,000 Dash for Cash bonus.
Well, I really don't think that penalty is going to hurt Justin Allgaier in the least. When you look at the standings, as we'll go over them later, he's right in the thick of things currently, and I printed these out at 3 o'clock, so these are probably the most updated standings that there are. He's currently in second with 368 points. He's about 40 behind Sadler, who's in first, and he's but 5 points ahead of Tyler Reddick. Yeah. Each of them have a win, Reddick and Allgaier, with Christopher Bell right behind. Even if you go back to seventh at Brandon Jones at 304, if he got docked 25 points and this isn't the most updated list, then he still doesn't have a problem. You're still in the top eight, and I think the top 12 get in on the Xfinity Series. Yes. So it's a lot like, you know, Kevin Harvick some weeks ago after the race where he got docked for the right rear window support. It's not going to hurt him too bad. He's a championship contender. Unless he has a string of DNFs and a whole butt ton of bad luck, you're looking at Justin Allgaier as a championship contender in the Xfinity Series.
There's no question about it either. I mean, you know, it's not like it's not like what happened with Joey Logano last year. Like, you know, when he ended up winning at Richmond and then after the penalty, just pretty much costed him, you know, making it into the playoffs because they just struggled like the whole entire season last year. But, you know, you look at Justin Allgaier, like he's pretty consistent, you know, mile and a half, you know, they just run good like almost everywhere they go. And pretty much, you know, Junior Motorsports, I mean, they're in the top 10, you know, top five almost every single week. But actually, if you look at the point standings, I guess Allgaier got bumped down to fifth. So now he's only 58 points behind the points lead. But even though he's in the top five and it's only 12 drivers that make it in, I don't think it's going to hurt him that bad.
Okay, so obviously my point, when we give the point tallies after we break down the Xfinity race, keep in mind what Corey just said. These are not the most updated standings. These were printed at 3 o'clock this afternoon.
Yeah.
So obviously the penalties took effect after 3 p.m. So once again, there's only so much prep I can do, and then I got to go be, you know, stepdad, regular dad, husband, boyfriend, Jones. But having said that, the truck race at Dover, I got to see, you know, the 2-minute super greatest hits clip. We looked at the truck race like this. Corey had Noah Gragson as his lock and Todd Gilliland as his sleeper. I wasn't much different. I had Noah Gragson as my lock and Moffitt as my sleeper. Neither of us did overly excitingly well, because when we look at the Jags 200, it was Johnny Sauter that came home in first. Did you watch the truck race, and what did you see?
I saw the whole entire race on Friday, and it's funny because I actually made it home from work in time just to see the race. And it's funny how like the only race in the truck series starts at like 5 o'clock in the afternoon and so forth. But no, I thought this race was pretty entertaining. You know, it was kind of interesting, like right near the end where Noah Gragson and Johnny Sauter were battling for the lead. And I probably say, like, from my standpoint, I think the 18 truck kind of drove a little bit too hard because, you know, A, you know, he needs to win a race, you know, in order to make it into the playoffs. And B, you know, even though he hasn't won since like a year ago, you know, he tries to like race like it's the last lap and so forth. But, you know, there were a couple times, I guess, where, you know, the 18 truck was kind of banging fenders just a little bit, you know, to try and get the 21 truck sideways. And then with two laps to go, he tried to get him loose or tried to get the rear end kind of loose and so forth. The next thing you know, the 18 truck spins out on his own and hits the wall. And I'm literally watching this like at like a full second, and I thought, you got to be kidding me. You know, because in my standpoint, I think he kind of did that to himself because, you know, he was racing too hard, and, you know, and I thought that, you know, he should have raced them a little bit cleaner. And, you know, it could have been a side by side finish going to the checkered flag and so forth. And even Johnny Sauter said in his interview, you know, I would have done the same thing as well. But, you know, let's face it, you know, Gragson is going to win a race this year, and he's going to win races, you know, in 2018. And I think this is going to be a team that's going to be a one to watch. But now with the 21, you know, having two wins this season, you know, don't count out the GMS team just yet, because, you know, I've seen them, you know, from the start of Daytona on, you know, they've been running really good when it comes to the mile and a half. And, you know, you go to Kansas on Friday night, don't be surprised if the 21 car goes to victory lane.
Oh, I don't doubt that at all. Kid's running strong. There's no stopping him. Unfortunately, the thing that is stopping him is dumb luck. And it really is unfortunate. And we're going to talk a lot about dumb luck when we go to the Cup Series because, oh, my Lord. you know, a lot of dumb luck this weekend on all three of the series. But I'm going to break down the top 10 from the Jegs 200. It was Johnny Sauter coming home first, Matt Crafton taking home second, Justin Haley third, David Gilliland fourth, Harris Burton coming in at nice number fifth,
yeah.
Cody Coughlin sixth, Joe Nemechek, front row Joe, not quite on the front row. He was seventh, Ben Rose eighth, Jesse Little ninth, and Todd Gilliland 10th. Some of your other notables, Brett Moffitt, as we mentioned before, 12th, Dalton Sargeant 13th, Grant Enfinger 14th, and I'm going all the way down to 20th with Noah Gregson. Give me your happy and give me your sad, because I didn't see the race. The only thing I'm going to say is my sad is that I didn't pick better last week for the Dover race.
Yeah, I'd probably say my happy would definitely have to be Matt Crafton. You know, the team hasn't got off to a great start this season. You know, they come home with a runner-up. And something tells me, you know, this team is already starting to get a little bit better. But now is like the races go on. Like, I really want to see, you know, the 88 team battle up at the front, you know, lead laps and win races, you know, especially driving the Ford this year for ThoroSport. My sad would definitely have to be Jesse Little. Even though he comes home in the top 10, there was one point in the race where he made a pit stop. And it looked as if he was going to finish in the top five, if not probably second. What happened was on the last pit stop, he ends up getting penalized because his tire was on the white line, right, kind of like right near outside the pit box and so forth. And even I looked at it, I said, okay, it's kind of a gray area. You know, his tire's on the white line, but then yet again, you know, the pit crew guys are performing the pit stop like right outside the box. So I think NASCAR caught that right on the penalty, but definitely it was a disappointing day for the 97 team, and I really thought that, you know, they were going to get a top five out of it.
I mean, my only happy, like you mentioned, I'm going to go with Matt Crafton, grizzled vet. He's been driving in the Truck Series as long as I can remember. It's always good to see some of the grizzled vets do well, and I could even throw Joe Nemechek on that, but I'm just going to give it up to Matt Crafton. Originally, I wanted to say Harrison Burton, but let's be honest, that kid has a future. And a lot of these guys like Crafton, Nemechek, some of the other ones, Johnny Sauter even, they're not going to be around forever. And you can say the same thing on the Cup Series. When you see the vets, this year has been the vet year on the Cup Series, but we'll talk about that later. But again, great to see Matt Crafton, a guy who I first absolutely thought was great when he drove the Kiss truck in Richmond in 2004. That was a fantastic weekend. It was great. But let me go over the standings real quick. Johnny Sauter is leading the way with 238. Ben Rhodes second with 187. Noah Gregson third with 180. Brett Moffitt fourth with 175. Grant Enfinger fourth in a virtual tie, basically fifth.
In
175, Matt Crafton 6th with 169. Justin Haley is 7th with 146. Matt Snyder 8th, 145. Dalton Sargeant Knight 142. Stuart Friesen rounds out the top 10 with 152. Other notables are Cody Coughlin in 11th, Austin Hill in 12th, and John Hunter Nemechek in 15th. I know we talk a lot about JH, but do you think that he's spreading himself too thin? Should he be focusing mainly on trucks and not having a little, you know, diddle fest over here in the Xfinity series every now and again?
See, I really think he should start off in the truck series and, you know, once the kid's ready, and of course, you know, he's already driven like three Xfinity races this year, but I really think that, you know, he should run for a championship, you know, in the truck series right now. And then let's say, like, you know, maybe like in the next year or two, like if he's ready to run full time in the Xfinity series, then, you know, I would just give the kid a shot. But then, you know, the problem is, you know, there's not a lot of teams open, you know, for him to run for a championship, even though, of course, Austin Cindric, you know, is running for two teams in the for the championship, which is Penske and Roush Fenway. You know, that could probably be the same scenario, like, you know, if John Hunter Nemechek kind of does that. But, you know, I'd probably say, like, right now, I think, you know, he's good, like, where he is. And then maybe, like, 2019, 2020, I think a lot of teams should probably decide, like, you know, I really want this kid to run for a championship, you know, whatsoever.
Sure, but you got to get your chops in first, and you have to, you know, get yourself seasoning. You're not going to do that being hot-shotted up to the Cup Series. A lot of guys have done that in the past, and unfortunately, they've failed. What is Trevor Bayne doing this weekend? He's going to be doing like we are doing, watching on television.
Yeah.
And, you know, they hot-shotted him quick. He, in his, what, fourth or fifth start, he wins Daytona in 2011. what's he done since then other than wreck a bunch of Roush Fenway vehicles? He hasn't done anything. So when you hotshot them too early, they don't get that seasoning, they don't get that experience, and they don't get the feel of how the race car changes from track to track, from lap to lap even. So having him bounce back and forth, I don't think it's a good idea for him. But if you're a guy like, you know, and let's throw some of the big names out there, Mark Martin, Kevin Harvick, Kyle Busch, even Jeff Burton back in the day would bounce back and forth. You can do that when you're established. When you're young and hungry, you have to work your way through. I don't think John Hunter Nemechek should get anywhere near an Xfinity car till next year. That's just my opinion.
I kind of agree on that too. And, you know, like I said, like, I really think he should run in the truck series for like maybe another year. I mean, with honestly, like, you know, I think he should just run for a championship, you know, if he wants to win the title. And of course, could have went to the championship for last year, you know, had bad luck not, you know, gotten his way in the round of six whatsoever.
Right. Well, let's move along. Corey was the hero in the Xfinity Series race this weekend. We are looking at Justin Allgaier, as we just talked about, coming home with the victory. Let's go to our lock and our sleeper. We both had Christopher Bell as our lock, and Christopher Bell came home in fourth. Here's where it goes sideways for me, kids. I got turned and put into the wall. I picked Kaz Grala as my sleeper, and Kaz Grala limped home in 37th, whereas Corey here picked Noah Gragson, who finished 7th. You watched the race.
Yes.
I did the – this was more extended. I watched via the fast-forward button the Xfinity race that I put on DVR. What did you think of the race overall?
Well, again, no cup drivers, which is the best part. And I really thought it was exciting right to the end when teammates Justin Allgaier and Elliott Sadler battled it door-to-door right to the end. And coming down to the checkered flag, you know, there were the two lap cars, I think, from, like, the Johnny Davis team or whatever team it was, like the two red cars and so forth. My first reaction was, you know, okay, I'm going to bet myself, you know, Sadler's going to give Allgaier the bump and run, you know, to get himself the victory. But problem is, you know, it's teammates and, you know, you don't want to wreck your teammate, you know, to the checkered flag. So what happened was Sadler tried to get underneath him, you know, tried to loosen him up and then, you know, kind of punted him almost into the wall. And, you know, I thought it was going to be a side-by-side finish, but Allgaier ended up holding him off and, you know, took home the victory. And it's kind of funny, you know, because it was actually kind of a great week for Dale Jr. because, you know, has the baby on Monday and one of his drivers from Xfinity wins the race on Saturday. So I thought that was a good week for him. And not to mention, you know, it was also a great week, you know, in the Xfinity race, you know, especially the no cup driver rule and so forth. But yeah, I thought it was exciting. And, you know, I really think these Dash for Cash races are pretty fun. And, you know, and I can't wait to see how they do it next year.
Sure, absolutely. And one of the things about that Dash for Cash is that the four guys who are running are usually four guys who are contenders. Yes, one of the races there was some bad luck and somebody got shuffled out. But it's an added little bonus. To win the race is the ultimate goal. But if you're one of those four, you want to beat everybody else to the line and get yourself a whole chunk of change, boy. And they sure did it. So let me real quick go over the finish from the One Main Financial 200. It was Justin Allgaier coming in first. Elliott Sadler second. What a great pass at the end. Daniel Hemric third. Christopher Bell fourth. Tyler Reddick fifth. Johnny Sauter sixth. Noah Gragson seventh. Matt Tipp eighth. Austin Cindric ninth. And Brandon Jones comes in at 10th. Other notables I'm going to put out here. Cole Custer, 13th. John Hunter Nemechek, we already mentioned him, 14th. We'll go down to Jeremy Clements. He's been running better than I've seen him in a while. I'm looking forward to this kid really making a difference on the series. Dylan Lupton, 24th. And then let's just slide it on back to front row Joe in the back row in 31st. And unfortunately, Kaz Grala in 37th. Give me a happy and give me a sad on the Xfinity race.
My happy this weekend would definitely have to be the 22 of Austin Cindric. And again, another top 10 finish for that 22 team. And I really think that this team is going to run a lot better. And you're going to see this team run a lot, you know, faster and, excuse me, get up to the, probably get up to the front a lot more. And like I said, I think this kid has the Xfinity Series all figured out. And, you know, I really can't wait to see how he does, especially on the road courses, which I really think it's going to be a strong suit and so forth. My sad would definitely have to go to Yeah, my sad would definitely have to go to the John Hunter Nemechek. I mean, he got taken out in that one wreck, which I guess the 22 car made contact. And, you know, even though he started from the back, which, of course, some of the other Xfinity guys had to come from the back because, you know, they didn't get through the whole qualifying inspection in time and, you know. But, yeah, you know, kind of a little bit of a disappointing day for the 42. And, you know, I expect a lot more out of John Hunter and, you know, see if he can rack up a couple top fives this year.
All right, I'm going to go with, despite the penalty, despite everything else, that last lap pass that Justin Allgaier did on Elliott Sadler, I thought he would have had him regardless of if Sadler slipped a little bit. You watch his tail end get squirrely coming out of turn four, going for the checkered flag. But what a great – Justin Allgaier, for being a young guy, made a veteran move to get past Sadler. And even without the wiggle, I think that Allgaier takes the win. My sad has to go to Kaz Grala. We all, both of us, and even people who aren't affiliated with the show who I talk to on a regular basis about NASCAR, we're waiting for this kid to break out in this series. And he's going to.
Yeah.
But when? And we'll talk about another when in just a minute when we go to the Cup Series in Dover. Grala is better than his finishes, we'll tell you. Grala is better than the standings, we'll tell you. Grala is better than what he's showing us. It's just, when is going to be the time he is going to break that glass ceiling, get to victory lane, get that confidence, get that severe boost in his heart, in his mind, and in his ability, and take it to the next level?
So actually, what's also kind of interesting is that for those of you guys that don't know, is Kaz Grala is a really good road racer. And I remember I was watching the truck race last year in Canada where him and Austin Cindric were battling it out for the win. And next thing you know, 19 truck ends up spinning him out and then brings home the victory and so forth. But that's actually kind of the interesting thing about him. So even though last year, like, we had a surprise winner in the Xfinity Series, like, for instance, you know, Jeremy Clements, you know, question is, who expected Jeremy Clements to win a race? I didn't expect him to win it. You didn't expect him to win. I mean, nobody expected him to win, but he had a great car, and he was consistent right to the end, and he pretty much took the lead when it mattered most and so forth. And I really think that, you know, once the Xfinity guys hit the road courses like Watkins Glen, Mid-Ohio, and Road America, so forth, I really think it's going to come down between Kaz Grala and Austin Cindric, you know, in one of those races. And I wouldn't be surprised, you know, if Grala can end up picking home a victory and punching himself into the playoffs without a doubt.
Absolutely. So where did I put that sheet? Oh, here it is. So let's break down your standings in the Xfinity Series again. I'll bring it up again. I printed these at 3 o'clock. The penalties have been handed down, so things may have shifted. I'll read what I have here, go over the notables, and Corey can give us the actual spot on Justin Allgaier. I have Elliott Sadler leading the way in with 401. Justin Allgaier second with 368. Tyler Reddick third with 363. Christopher Bell fourth with 349. Daniel Hemric fifth with 343. Cole Custer comes in at sixth with 323. Brandon Jones seventh, 304. Ryan Truex, 8th with 285. Spencer Gallagher, 9th with 277. And Matt Tiff rounds out the top 10 at 270. Now, they go around, they go the field of 12 for their championship. So let's throw in Ryan Reed with 252 and Austin Cindric with 219. Underneath them, from 13 to 19, goes like this: Ross Chastain, Michael Annette, Ryan Sieg, John Hunter Nemechek, Alex Labby, Jeremy Clements, and Kaz Grala. And the point differential between all of them is only 48 points. So there's a lot of room for movement, especially when you take John Hunter Nemechek out of the equation, because he is only a part-time driver on this series. There's a lot of room for this to be shaken up in the next few months. Let me go down that list again. Taking out John Hunter Nemechek, you have Chastain, Annette, Sieg, Labby, Clements, and Grala. If you could see any one of those go up into the championship 12, who do you see and why?
I really want to say, you know, I definitely want to go say Kaz Grala, because, like, if you think about it, you know, Like, I really think, like, this kid could probably make himself into the playoffs, like, if he does get a win on one of the road courses and so forth. And plus, not to mention, like, we're going to Daytona in a couple weeks, and actually in July, so which he scored a top 10 over there and so forth. But, you know, you look at these guys from, like, 13th and 19th, and, you know, some of them, you know, they have finished in the top 10, like, three times, one time, and, you know, mostly once. But you just look at their average finishes, you know. Ross Chastain has a 17.7. Michael Annette has a 19th. Ryan Sieg has a 19.4. Alex LeBay has a 20.4. Jeremy Clements, 21.7. And Kaz Grala has a 22. So if you look at it, you know, you could say, like, their finishes are pretty much average, like, comparing to what the guys are in the top 12 as of right now. So if you look at it, you know, Elliott Sadler pretty much has an average finish of 4.6, even though right. He has 8 top 10s and 10 top 10 finishes. So, considering yet that he's yet to win a race so far this year, you know, I really think, you know, he could get a win sometime soon. And then, you know, Daniel Hemric, you know, has an 11.5. Christopher Bell has an 11.7. But you just look at the Xfinity series, like, you know, you have some guys, you know, that are running for really good teams that are in the top 10 right now in points and that are finishing in the top 10 in races. And you look at these guys outside the top 12, most of them, they're running for, like, either the top 20 teams, one for Junior Motorsports, the other one for Go Fast or whatever Alex LeBay is running, and then mostly, like, outside the top 20. So I would say for one of these guys, you know, you'd have to go to Daytona in July, and let's say, like, if all the top contenders get taken out in a big crash, and then you see, like, for example, you know, Michael Annette coming home, taking home the win, boom, he advances himself into the playoffs. And then, you know, let's say, like, if Ryan Sieg or any of those guys, like, in the bottom half of the top 13 or top 12 in points, you know, can get some spots in the top 10, you know, they could march their way up in the points. But, you know, the problem is you have to win. And that's what, you know, we've learned in the last couple of years with this whole playoff system, is you have to win a race, you know, in order to make yourself into the playoffs.
To guarantee yourself a spot. That's absolutely right. You know, I agree with everything you say. An average finish is definitely something that moves you up the charts, moves you up the standings, and makes it a little easier if you don't win a race to get into the championship. And speaking of average finish, since we've been doing these picks since week one of this show, this was the closest finish ever between our picks. And I'm just going to rattle them off to you real quick. Corey had Kurt Busch as a lock. He finished fifth. Corey had Jimmy Johnson as a sleeper. Finished ninth. Corey also had Kyle Larson as his hopeful. Finished 10th. That's a grand total of 24 points. You divide that by 3. Your average finish this week, sir, was 8. Now, all right, going on to myself, I had Brad Keselowski as my lock. He finished 6th. I had Denny Hamlin as my sleeper. He finished 7th. I had Chase Elliott as my hopeful. He finished 12th. That gave me a point total of 25, which equates to 8.333333333. You get the point. Corey, you came home as a winner this week, but you know who was the big winner? Here, let me show you. Me! That's right. Because Kevin Harvick, once he took that lead, he did not look back, boy. And like Corey said weeks ago, he put on a clinic for these guys. What a great win. It was fantastic to watch. The whole race was fantastic. I watched it. You watched it. Tell me what you saw from your perspective.
Definitely was a great day for Stuart Haas Racing. And, you know, not just, you know, for all the Stuart Haas guys, but just Kevin Harvick in that 4 car, you know. From the time he took the lead, you know, he was just pretty much the dominant class of the field. And I didn't really expect, you know, Harvick to win at Dover. I mean, I thought it was going to be the 48 or anybody else in between. But man, what a clinic that team ran all weekend long. And I actually want to go through one part of the race that I kind of saw, you know, and I think you might have saw too. So I don't know if you remember, but near the end of stage one, you know, there were some guys that were getting close on fuel. And then there were some guys that kind of ran out of fuel. So NASCAR kind of made the decision of, you know, opening the pits, you know, right before the stage was over, because, you know, you had a couple cars, you know, that were either running out of gas, that were low on gas, and some of them had to save fuel. Because I think, what was it? Stage one, I think it was a 65 lap run, or maybe it might have been more than that. And I think the reason why that NASCAR kind of did that,
I think it was 120, 120, 160, if I'm not mistaken.
Okay. I think it was 120 for the first stage. But and I think the reason why, you know, they opened up the pit box, like the pit road, like before the stage was over, and I think this was a really good idea, was because, like, you know, let's say, like, had they closed the pits, you know, you would have saw like 10, 15 guys run out of gas, like, near the end of the stage, and then, you know, there's not a lot of wreckers, you know, that can push the cars around on that pit road. And, you know, if all those guys would have ran out of gas, then all of them would have came out like maybe like three laps down, four laps down, or whatever it was, you know, and then they couldn't get themselves back up. But I really thought that NASCAR made a really good call on that. And, you know, and I'd probably say, like, the next time, if that ever happens, like, you know, if we do have like a long first stage, you know, I really think NASCAR should probably say, okay, you know, we'll give you the option, you know, to come down pit road. Like, if you're low on fuel, you can come down, you know, but you still have to go the tail end of the longest line, you know, at the next stage and all that whatsoever.
Yeah, well, what I saw, and I'm glad you brought that up, because I was watching again with subscribers of ours, Mark Azarju, Skip Perry. We also got a new subscriber that day in the house. Her name is Julie. Hello, Julie. Hope you're watching. Toward the end of stage one, just before they shut down pit road, you watch a lot of guys duck off. But if you've ever watched a Dover race, it's a concrete racetrack, not asphalt. Doesn't tear up your tires as much, so you can go a lot longer and stretch your fuel mileage. But one of the rules that I've always loved about Dover is if you dip off the concrete and the apron is asphalt until you get to the pits, which is, again, concrete, once you're in the black, you've committed yourself to going in. So a lot of guys I saw take advantage of that and dip down just before that red light goes on and say, okay, pit road is closed. You're not allowed to come down. No work, no adjustment, no nothing. Two laps to go. Those guys took advantage of the rule, and I thought it was brilliant that they got down onto the black, committed themselves to going into the pits, and as soon as that red light comes on, it's like, hey, we've already committed. We're coming in. There's nothing NASCAR can do. It's a lot like when again, I was just talking about coaching a softball game tonight. You play by the house rules of the team you go to, even though we're all in the same league and we all play by the same, you know, Little League softball rule book. Each field has different house rules. You have to abide by them. So when you go to Dover, you dip off the concrete, you dip onto the asphalt, you're committed, you're going in. Basically, it's like crossing that line that everybody knows, because you see the brake dust and the smoke and the tires, because they're coming in too hot. They basically have already committed. They're slowing down. They're doing their bit. Kind of like Bristol in a way, but Bristol is asphalt. That was brilliant on every one of those teams to do that. You didn't see it that much in the second stage, because a lot of the guys that did it had the fresh gas. They went out. They did their thing. Now everybody's playing pit strategy. Well, how long can we go? Can we get in? Can we do this without losing a lap? The second stage had quite a many cautions where you didn't have to worry about that. And then, obviously, the third stage with the weather, you know, they red flag it for a short spell. They come back on the track. They allow everybody to come in. So now you're gassed and you're tired and you're ready to go. Tired of being tires, not like wanting to go to sleep. For those of you who are – I caught myself real quick on that one. But you got your tires, you got your gas, you're ready to go. The whole field comes in, they're contending, and then they go out. So, you know, again, that first stage, brilliant move by every team that ducked down and committed prior to the commitment cone.
Yeah, see, and just keep this in mind. Like, I consider, you know, Dover being, like, one of the toughest tracks, like, to get on to pit road, because, like, you know, you're going at, like, I'd say maybe like 120, 130 or so forth. And you're trying to get woe down to like, I'd say maybe like 45 or so forth. And sometimes, like, you know, even though you're trying to hit the brakes really hard, you know, to get on the pit road, sometimes it's really hard, you know, to get your speed down. And of course, you know, that's when, you know, NASCAR busts you for speeding because, you know, you came in pretty much too hot. And then there were times where, you know, they were coming onto the apron and they couldn't even like control their car. And, you know, you look at what happened to Matt Kenseth in 2004, where, you know, he pretty much slid into the tire barrier or whatever
Yeah,
it was, and but yeah, that's the only thing about Dover. I mean, it's challenging. You know, it's a fast racetrack, but you know, when you're coming down on the pit road, you know, and you have to like excel down to like 45 miles an hour. I mean, it can be pretty tricky sometimes, and you know, and there's also been times where you know where they try to get Woe down, and they just say, you know what, you know, I got to come back around because you know I don't want to get busted for speeding.
Mm-hmm. And that's another reason why if you dip down before you get into turn three and get into the black, they consider that commitment. As you can see, I'm wearing my free swag Dover hat from 2 years ago. Love that track. One of my favorite places to visit it. And if you've ever played a NASCAR video game and you run Dover or you ever visit Dover, just take a walk. If you ever do the infield walk, just try to go walk up the peak between turn three and 2-4 or the peak between turn one and turn two. You will not do it. It is very difficult. Now, imagine you are hurtling that race car coming into turn three at about a $1.40. Now, you got it, like Corey said, you have to squeeze it down to about a $1.20, $1.10. And now, if you're committing right off the racetrack and you're not on the black and you're just coming out of turn four, you have to make easily a 70 mile an hour decrease just to make the commitment going and to commit to pit road speed. Not very easy to do. Especially on tires with no tread, where if you lock your brakes, all you're going to do is you're going to cause a flat spot in the tire. You're going to cost yourself positions, etc. A lot of different things go on at this track that a lot of these guys, again, brilliant on all their parts. Get down before you go into turn three. At least you can carry yourself around that area at about 70, 80 miles an hour. Now you only have to make a 20 to 30, maybe 40 mile an hour adjustment going into the pits. You're actually doing better for yourself than trying to come from a $1.10 to 55 or 45, whatever the pit road speed is. But I thought it was great. I thought the race was great all around. I wasn't upset with a lot of it. It wasn't like I was throwing stuff and F this and kiss my stuff and what have you. Just a really fun race to watch. I thought it was anybody's race until after, you know, once again, Kevin Harvick took that lead and he held it. And there was nobody was going to catch him. I didn't think he had the best car on the track. I thought Keselowski, honestly, had the best car on the track. So unfortunately, Brad got hung up in a lot of different passing situations where guys squeezed by him or he got a little high in the groove. But, man, once Harvick took that lead, it was all said and done. Congratulations to you, my friend, for having the highest average finish this week. And I'm going to run down your top 10, the AAA 400 Drive for Autism. Once again, this is getting very easy to do. I'm getting used to this. I'd like to do it four more times this season. Kevin Harvick comes away with the victory. Clint Bowyer, another Stuart Haas driver, comes in second. Daniel Suarez, third. Martin Truex Jr., your reigning champion, was in fourth. Kurt Busch, fifth, another Stuart Haas driver. Brad Keselowski, sixth. Denny Hamlin, seventh. Ryan Blaney, eighth. Jimmy Johnson, ninth. And Kyle Larson, tenth. Other notables, the fourth of four Stuart Haas guys to finish in the top 13. I'm going to put Eric Almirola on the stand right now. Fantastic job in 11th. Chase Elliott came home in 12th. We go down a little bit further. William Byron had a great run coming home in 14th. And now let's get to some really turn your smile upside down. Here comes the bottom of the barrel. Man, Alex Bowman had a tough day, 23rd. Darrell Wallace, Bubba, 25th. Reed Sorensen, yeah, he makes a cup of coffee every now and again in the Cup Series, a disappointing 32nd. Ryan Newman, 33rd. And while it made me smile when it happened, I'm kind of disappointed in Kyle Busch has his drive shaft drop onto the track, and he is done for the day at 35th. Give me your happy and give me your sad coming out of Dover.
Yeah, my happy would definitely have to go to Daniel Suarez and to come home in third, and especially being one of the Gibbs cars that, you know, that runs pretty good every week, you know, I was really impressed by him, and I really want to see a lot more runs out of him this year. And, you know, hopefully this kid can win a race and sometime he can finish in the top five. But I really think this kid's going to be fun to watch. And especially I remember last year when he won at Watkins Glen, when he won his first ever stage, I think it was in like stage two or so forth, but he was pretty much my one driver that I was really impressed on. And then my sad would definitely have to go to Kyle Busch. I mean, started fourth, you know, thought he was going to finish in the top two or if not, maybe win. And then, of course, a drivetrain came out of his car and, you know, he was pretty much done for the day. So,
all right. Well, All right, look. The last three times I didn't pick it as my happy. I'm going to pick two happies. First of all, I'm going to pick happy. Happy Harvick. Yeah. 200-plus laps led. Just a dominant performance. When you lead more than half the race, it's your race. There's nothing else to say. But my other happy, because he did such a great job, and I'm going to piggyback you, Daniel Suarez. What a great run for this guy. Didn't lead any laps, but he was certainly a contender. And if he or Clint Bowyer could have rigged up and erased that five-second lead, we could have seen a different finish in this race. My yeah. sad is going to be Alex Bowman. I mean, he led 26 laps. He really had a great car. I don't know what happened to him. It wasn't so much the car. He didn't get involved in a wreck. He didn't have many troubles. But when you drop down to 23rd at a racetrack like this, something's wrong. And they didn't say much about him. Unfortunately, that's the thing about Fox or FS1 or whoever, you know, the Fox networks. They don't exactly enunciate what's going on when a guy drops that far, especially when they led a good chunk of the race. Now, when you look at a lot of these leaders, 26 laps, 24 laps, 10 laps, 40 laps, etc. And then, of course, you know, Kevin Harvick gets out there and says, thank you, F you, bye, I'm taking this. You know, you have to talk about these guys that got out there and led laps early and often. And that was Alex Bowman. But we didn't hear anything about it. You heard about him when he was in the lead, but they didn't tell us why he dropped back so far. There was no radio chatter. I didn't have the scanner in that day. I apologize. Usually I try to keep up with a guy's dropping like a stone. I want to know why. I didn't do it. I was too busy eating tacos and drinking whiskey and drinking beer and having a great time. Sorry, not sorry. I think I did the right thing. But Alex Bowman, I'm sorry. You are my sad. I really want you to stand up, get yourself, pull yourself up by the bootstraps, and win yourself a race this season.
Well, not just Alex Bowman, but hopefully anybody from Hendrick can win a race this year too, because, you know, I'm looking at their finishes now, and, you know, Jimmy Johnson 9th, Chase Elliott 12th, William Byron 14th, and then, of course, Alex Bowman comes home 23rd. So, I mean, yet again, you know, it's not too bad of a day, you know, for the Hendrick Motorsports team, but then yet again, like, you know, I really hope that this team can perform pretty well and then they can get themselves back on the map this year.
You know, I want to bring up something right now as I'm looking at this, the finishing order. I'm looking at Ricky Stenhouse Jr. Not a bad finish. He led 24 laps. He was 15th coming home. This kid's making strides. I know, yes, he is. He's one on the big tracks. Yeah. Yes, we all know that he can drive his heart out, but he's quietly, very quietly moving himself up. And I just noticed as I'm, you know, we're about to break down the point standings, Ricky Stenhouse is in that bubble position in 16th. Austin Dillon is below him in 19th, but Austin Dillon also has a win.
Yeah.
So that immediately moves him up the ladder. But when you look at some of these guys that are in front of him, and again, I know I'm throwing spoilers out here. I'm looking at Eric Almirola in 11th, Jimmy Johnson 12th, Eric Jones 13th, Alex Bowman is 14th, and Chase Elliott's 15th. All of those guys I just mentioned, no wins. So there is room for Ricky Stenhouse to be a spoiler, if you will, and get that win. It's not going to be a surprise. This isn't going to be like, I don't know, Matt DiBenedetto, who I think the world of Matt DiBenedetto, I would love to get Guido to come here on the show, do a triple screen, talk to him. Trust me, I am working that Twitter like nobody's business. I'm going to get Matt DiBenedetto right here on CNJ Speedway Review. Yeah. But, you know, if DiBenedetto wins, it's a shock. If Stenhouse wins, it's like, oh, he won another race. Fantastic. Good for you.
Yeah.
This is a guy who is going to ruin a lot of people's hopes in the playoffs. If you're a Jimmy Johnson fan, if you're an Almirola fan, if you're a fan of Bowman or Elliott, strap yourself in. Look, Jimmy Johnson's a seven-time champion. All his fans should just be thrilled that they got to see seven championships in their lifetime. It's a fantastic thing, much like being a Yankee fan. If they never win again, as long as I live, I've lived through seven Yankee championships. I am thrilled. I will go to my grave saying, thank you, God, for making me a Yankee fan. or Grandpa, which whatever one you pick, whatever. Jimmy Johnson, you've had your taste of victory, Jimmy Johnson fans. It's okay to wish and hope, and trust me, when Jimmy Johnson's a contender, it's better for the Harvick fan, it's better for the Logano fan, it's better for the Kyle Busch fan, it's better for all fans. And he certainly drove a hell of a race this weekend and came home ninth. But when you're a guy that runs around in a number 17 Ricky Stenhouse Jr. shirt, let me tell you, to have him go into the playoffs in that round of 16, maybe he gets a win before the playoffs. Let's start here. Let me rewind. Okay. Stenhouse gets a win before the playoffs start. So now he's in. He's locked in. And in that first round, that elimination round, he picks up another win where a guy like Keselowski, Blaney, even Harvick don't pick up a win. They have some trouble, and now they're knocked out. Stenhouse has this ability to pull wins out when you least expect it. I didn't expect him to win on the super speedways. I would have never picked Ricky Stenhouse to win on a super speedway. Now I have to think about him as a serious contender when you go to Daytona, when you go to Talladega. Ricky Stenhouse is slowly creeping up on the NASCAR consciousness to where he's not field filler anymore. He's an honest-to-goodness contender. I'd like to hear what you have to say.
I'd probably say for him, and, you know, not to mention he had a really good car on Sunday, you know, started fifth, and there were times, you know, he was in the top five most of the day. And you know, going back to Stenhouse, like, I can remember, like, when he first started racing in the Xfinity Series, which was then, you know, nationwide at the time, and, you know, where he was wrecking a lot of cars, and, you know, and that's where Jack Roush ended up saying, like, look, if you're going to drive for our team, you know, you better not wreck a lot of our cars. And that's where he sat out for a little while. And then, you know, once he got back into the car, you know, he said, okay, now I got this and so forth. So then after that, the next 2 years, he ends up winning races, wins championships, goes up to the cup level, you know, doesn't win a race, even though he won Rookie of the Year honors in 2013, doesn't win a race until like 2017, because at that time, you know, you had guys like Matt Kenseth and Carl Edwards and Greg Biffle, those guys all left Roush. And, you know, those were guys that won races and have won championships in either series whatsoever and so forth. But you go to Stenhouse this year, like, you know, he only has like two top 10 and two top five finishes. So it's not really that bad. But I probably say that, you know, now, you know, let's say like if the playoffs would have started today, you know, Stenhouse, you know, is going to get bumped out because Austin Dillon has the win at Daytona, and, you know, so he's the only one that's going to get leapfrog, and Chase Elliott would be on the bubble as of right now. But let's go to Kansas this weekend. You know, now that Matt Kenseth is coming back, you know, a guy that has won a championship and has won races for Roush Fenway, think of the knowledge and think of like the information that he's going to bring to the table, not only to the 16, but also to the 17 team as well. And, you know, and I would possibly say, like, you know, Stenhouse is going to be leaning on him like no other. And Kent is going to tell him, like, you know, this is how I do it, this is, you know, how you should do it and so forth. But I really think that now, you know, when Matt Kenseth comes back on Saturday and when he does, you know, the six car for a part-time deal this season, don't be surprised, you know, if Roush Fenway can get back up on the map. Now, I don't expect Kenseth to win right away. I mean, you know, he could probably sneak a win, you know, if he gets pretty lucky and so forth. But, you know, I look at the mile and a half tracks, you know, like Kansas and Texas and anywhere else and so forth. You know, I really think that's where Kansas is going to have his strong suit, and he could possibly pull off a win.
I don't doubt it. And we'll talk about that when we get into Kansas. One of the things I wanted to mention when we talked earlier about veterans. And I'm going to go down the list. Kyle Busch is a veteran, 3 wins. Logano's a vet, 1 win. Kevin Harvick's a vet, 4 wins. Clint Bowyer's a vet, 1 win. Martin Truex is our defending champion, 1 win. Now, on this list, you only have one guy who I couldn't consider a veteran, and that's Austin Dillon. So when you consider the veterans have won 10 out of the first 11, that's pretty impressive. Now, consider this. Stuart Haas Racing has won 47% of the races this season. We're 11 races in. Stuart Haas has 47%. Kevin Harvick himself has 36% of the wins of all drivers this season, your opinion, what is Stuart Haas doing better than everybody else?
I probably say now that this is their second year with Ford. I mean, they're just, I mean, I would say that, you know, they're giving all this information pretty well, you know, and I think I'd have to say, like, you know, they're having better cars, you know, they're running up front, you know, they're starting to win races and they're leading laps, and, you know, and I think with Harvick, you know, the way it stands out right now, I really think that Ford team is going to be the one to watch when it comes to the mile and a half races this season. And then, of course, you know, Kurt Busch, you know, given the fact that he has a one-year deal, I still think he can possibly pull off a win in the bag. And then you got Eric Almirola, you know, with four top 10 finishes, you know, he's doing good. He's doing better than ever. And then Clint Bowyer, given his second season at Stuart Haas Racing, you know, already nabbed the win at Martinsville. He has three top fives and seven top 10 finishes, and, you know, a lot better than what he did last year. But you look at the average finishes for all the Stuart Haas teams. You know, Kevin Harvick has an 8.5. Clint Bowyer has a 10.3. Eric Almirola has a 12.7. And then Kurt Busch has a 13.7. So, you know, not really that bad. But, you know, then yet again, like, you know, I really think that SHR is going to be the one to watch, you know, this season. And I wouldn't be surprised if all four of them can lock themselves into the playoffs in September.
I agree with that completely. You know, I'm not trying to be a homer here. When we started this show, I always wanted to give honest, brutally honest. So, you know, when it comes time to, like, a week or two ago when I said, you know what, Kyle Busch, you're making history. Congratulations. Logano, you're making history. Congratulations. Two guys who I wouldn't spit on if they were on fire. But you have to acknowledge their talent. You have to acknowledge the things they did on that particular Sunday or Saturday in some cases. So, but this time I'm overwhelmed with homerism, especially when I look at Stuart Haas Racing winning almost half the races this season, Kevin Harvick winning a third of the races this season. It's just really incredible to watch this team. And like you said, the second year with Fords, they kind of started to bubble last year with the Fords.
Yeah.
Harvick took a win. I know Kurt Busch took Daytona last year. There was a fire, but it wasn't all the way stoked. And now that we're in this season, and I'm just looking at the top 10, and I'll break this all the way down in just a minute. We have Stuart Haas Racing in 3rd, 4th, 6th, and 11th. That's not bad, kids. That's amazing. There is no other team. Excuse me. Oh, that was terrible. There's no other team that is that hot, that is this hot right now than Stuart Haas Racing. If you're a fan of any of the SHR cars, fly your flag high. If you're a fan of Hendrick Motorsports or Roush Fenway or whomever, don't fret. All it takes is you have to figure out, much like people did for years, there was Hendrick and there was everybody else. Or there was Gibbs and there was everybody else. Everybody was chasing those two teams. Guys, it's a brand new era. It's time you start figuring out how to beat Stuart Haas Racing. Bottom line.
And you look at it, you know, Hendrick Motorsports was the only team that dominated the last couple of years, you know, when they won championships with Jimmy Johnson and so forth. And I really think now, you know, Stuart Haas Racing, you know, is definitely the team to watch. And, you know, they already won a championship a few years ago. And I think, you know, they could be the next Hendrick Motorsports, you know, coming down the road.
Yeah, it's funny you say that because I'm equating a lot of what I'm seeing now to what I've seen from Hendrick and from Gibbs over the last, I'm going to go back to 95. So now we're talking 23 years, which is longer than you've been alive, if I'm not mistaken.
Mm-hmm.
All right. I'm right on that one, right?
Yeah, 95. I think I was like probably two or
okay,
three
me,
or something.
You know what? I don't want to make this into a math class, but what year were you born?
92.
So you were three.
Yes.
That's easy math, man. That's not Common Core. Let's not dumb this down too much. I love you, kid, but yeah. Let's just break it down into brass tacks. Right. You were three. So yeah. Hendrick dominance began when you were learning to use the toilet. I'm not picking on you, but that's the truth. I could go back to when I was born, and that was when petty dominance was starting or bubbling or what have you. So, you know, you have to look at it as a cycle. There was, like, Petty, and there was Waltrip. Daryl, yep. Not Michael.
Daryl, yeah.
Then there was the Earnhardt years, which lasted forever. I thought it would never end. And, you know, don't anybody take me the wrong way. I wasn't glad when he died, but his dominance was already done. By 94, the Earnhardt era was gone. And then you got the Gordon era. And then you had a couple champions interspersed here and there. And then came the Johnson era. But that's all Hendrick. You can't argue with 11 championships between 1995 and Jimmy's last one, which was, what, 2 years ago?
2016.
So 95, 21 years, 11 championships. Now, throw an extra championship in there for Terry Labonte. Now you have 12 championships in 26 years. That is unprecedented. And then the Gibbs guys came in. And now we're looking at the Stuart Haas era. I like the way you put it. I'm glad you put it that way. I sound like less of a homer now. Thank you, Corey Huffnagel. Now,
you're welcome.
Wow, that was good. Let's break down the point standings in the Cup Series. Kyle Busch is leading the way with 466. Joey Logano second with 444. Kevin Harvick third with 426. Clint Bowyer fourth with 380. Brad Keselowski is fifth with 365. Kurt Busch, sixth. Wait, Brad Keselowski is fifth. Kurt Busch is sixth. My mistake. 358. Ryan Blaney, very respectable run for this kid. Seventh with 346. Denny Hamlin, eighth with 344. Current champion, Martin Truex Jr., ninth with 340. And Kyle Larson rounds out the top 10 with 307. But because we have a round of 16, guys, I got to bring out the next six. And then we're going to go down to 20. Eric Almirola sits in 11th with 304. Jimmy Johnson, 12th at 268. That is still a little difficult for me to say. I want Jimmy Johnson to be a contender, but as of right now, he's bubbling. The difference between Almirola and Jimmy Johnson is nearly 40 points for that one position. That is not something you expect when you say the name Jimmy Johnson. Moving forward, yeah. Eric Jones is in 13th. 253. Alex Bowman, 14th with 252. Chase Elliott, 15th with 241. And Ricky Stenhouse, who we talked about, 16th with 239. Here are the four underneath him. We have Daniel Suarez in 17th with 234. William Byron, 18th with 225. Austin Dillon has already punched his ticket to the win. He's in 19th with 221. And Ryan Newman, the thug, is 20th with 218. Taking Dillon out of the equation, you have Suarez, Byron, and Newman. Who do you see making the championship run and why?
See, I really think, you know, I really like to see Suarez make that playoff run because, you know, let's face it, he's another one of the Gibbs guys. You know, he's run really good this year. He only has like four top tens, so it's not really like too bad, you know, for the kid from Mexico, but I really think that, you know, once we get to, like, the mile and a half and mostly the tracks during the summer, you know, I would be surprised, you know, if this kid can make a run, you know, like, probably I'd say, like, up the points or better yet, you know, could probably win, you know, at some point. But, yeah, I mean, I'd really like to see the 19 do it. I mean, I'm happy that, you know, he finished third at Dover at Sunday. So, good performance, but I really want to see more out of this team.
You know, it's funny. That was my pick going forward. I had already started when I asked you that question, and the star went squarely next to Daniel Suarez. Going back to what we said about Kaz Grala and Noah Gregson, is that Daniel Suarez, let's take this third-place finish in Dover out of the equation. Daniel Suarez is better than his finishes are showing us. This is a guy that is going to, sooner than later, find victory lane. Now, I said last week or the week before that Jimmy Johnson would find victory lane before Chase Elliott. I also said that Alex the Showman Bowman would find victory lane before Chase Elliott. I am now going to go out on a limb and say Daniel Suarez will find victory lane before Chase Elliott, before the Chase Elliott fans freak on me and go, why are you picking on our guy? I'm not. I'm saying that Chase Elliott is missing something. There's just something that doesn't equate. It's not in his head. It's not in his heart. It's not in his ability. It's something. It's an intangible that nobody can put their finger on that is keeping Chase Elliott from converting these fantastic runs he's been having into a victory. Don't know what it is. Is it SHR dominance? Is it Kyle Busch? Is it bad equipment? Is it guys not giving him enough space? I don't know, but only one person can answer that, and he drives the number 9 car. His name is Chase Elliott.
Absolutely.
All right, so tell us where we are this weekend. We already know it's at Kansas. Break it down, starting with, I believe the trucks are running this weekend.
Yes.
Go ahead. Tell us where we're at.
So Friday night, it is going to be, and this is actually kind of a weird way of naming a race, but so the race Friday night, at Kansas, is going to be the 37 Kind Days 250. And I'm thinking,
sorry, say that again?
The 37 Kind Days 250.
Okay.
Which is kind of like an odd way of naming a race, but okay, well, whatsoever. So probably the one big notable, Kyle Busch is going to be running the truck race on Friday night. He's going to be in the 4 truck. That is right, the 4 Cessna Toyota. So again, you know, he's going to be driving 3 races in the 51 and then 2 races in the 4. Before Todd Gilliland takes over that ride for the remainder of the season. So, out of the notables, you have John Hunter Nemechek, who's going to be running the 8. You have Myatt Snyder. You have Brett Moffitt, Noah Gregson, Johnny Sauter, Justin Haley, Dalton Sargent. Let's see, Ben Rhodes, Justin Fontaine, yep. Let's see, Brandon Jones is going to be in the 51, so you'll see some of the Gibbs guys from the Xfinity series or whatever will drive a part-time basis in the 51. Stuart Friesen in the 52, Joe Nemechek in the 87, Matt Kraft in the 88, and then Grant Infinger in the 98. So I'm going to start off with my lock and my sleepers. So my lock is definitely going to be Kyle Busch because, let's face it, you know, whenever he's in a truck, you know, he's pretty much the odds-on favorite to win a race, and he's just the one to beat. And, you know, for example, you know, like what we saw at Las Vegas this past March, you know, dominant, you know, ended up winning the race, took home the checkered flag. And it's actually an interesting fact. So if Kyle Busch wins the race on Friday night, he is going to tie Ron Hornaday on the all-time wins list in the truck series at 52 wins, if wow. I'm not mistaken. So that's going to be a really big milestone for him if he can pull that one off. And, you know, hopefully, like, you know, I'm hoping he gets the record, you know, not only tying the record, but also passing the record because, you know, even though now, you know, he's the all-time wins leader in the Xfinity series, I really think, you know, he could be the all-time wins leader in the trucks as well. My sleeper, so you might one guy that I really think that you should keep an eye on for this weekend would definitely have to be the 52 of Stuart Friesen. The reason why I say this, go back to Las Vegas back in March. He ended up leading a few laps, won the second stage, and he ends up coming home in the top 10. So I'm thinking, okay, we normally see this guy run on the dirt tracks, which he's really successful on because he always runs those dirt late models or whatever you call them, like up in Canada and else and so forth. But now, given the fact that whatever race team it is, Hollander Racing or whatever racing team it is, you know, the fact that they're aligned with GMS Racing, you know, this is going to be a team where I think, you know, you definitely have to watch them when it comes to the mile and a half because, you know, if Friesen ran pretty well at Las Vegas back in March, I really think he could have a really good run at Kansas on Friday night. And honestly, I wouldn't be surprised if he wins the race on Friday because, you know, this kid has run really consistent and I really think, you know, he could punch himself into the playoffs with a win. And quite honestly, I think he could win the race before we even get to Eldora in July.
Okay, well, I gotta give you guys a little bit of a heads up. Just got a word from producer Eddie Focus. He lost power. We're going to have to close out for a minute. I'll give my picks when we get back. Eddie will put this all together in post and make it one fantastic show. You know what? We'll just close out ourselves. This will keep recording on YouTube or on Google Hangouts or whatever, and we'll do what we got to do. I can't necessarily – do you have your phone handy?
I have my phone handy, yes.
All right. Send producer Eddie Focus a message, and we can keep going. If he can dig this out of the woodwork and make this a reality, I'll keep talking. We'll keep talking. Ask him basically, do we want to just keep rolling as is? How is he going to pull this out? I'm not quite sure. But until we get word, I'll give my lock and my sleeper because I, you know, here it comes. Do you want us to keep rolling? Oh, that's cool.
Yeah, that's me. Yep.
All right, then. See, this is how this works here on the CJ Speeder Review. Usually it's my problem here at the Valhalla Underground Studio CNJ Speed Review portion that gives us problems, but this time it's Eddie, and I don't blame him. But if we have to go back, if we have to re-record certain portions after we lost Ed, my lock is certainly going to be Kyle Busch. Anytime you put him in the Camping World Truck Series, he is a dominant force. He just takes all those guys to school in a good way. But then again, I also, you already know my feelings on this. If you're a champion, you don't go to the lower levels. You can go to, right now, let's say Major League Baseball. The Red Sox and the Yankees are tearing it up. They're in a virtual tie for the lead in the American League East. But if Aaron Judge went down to Double A. All right, guys, we apologize for the blip in the action. A little bit of a power outage for producer Eddie Focus. And we are back. If you're watching this after the fact, it's all spliced in together. You don't know anything happened. But what we're going to talk about now is the Kansas Truck Series race. Corey, tell us the name of the race, and we'll go over our locks and our sleepers.
All right, so we have the 37 Kind Days 250. I also forgot to give out the time. So it's going to be on 8:30 on FS1. And also on Motor Racing Network, which will be on Sirius XM Channel 90, MRN. which is the NASCAR radio.
MRN, the voice of NASCAR.
Yes.
Home of the God. Calling, man. Whoa, God.
Home of the Godfather, Dave Moody.
Yes.
Gotta love the Godfather. But,
God.
So, yeah, so I think we read through, like, the entry lists and all the notable drivers, and I think I gave my lock and my sleeper, so which my lock would be Kyle Busch and my sleeper would be Stuart Friesen. But yeah, so the 37 Kind Days 250, kind of an odd way of naming a race, but you know, I'm guessing like pretty much NASCAR will probably like name something like out of a hat one of these days, and it'll just be like, oh, why don't we name this, and then you know, it'll make it more interesting and fun.
Well, haven't they done that on the Xfinity series like 17 times where it's like the something or other 400 for autism presented by Tampax Mini Pads, yeah. Co-sponsored by Coca-Cola and even lower sponsored by the Loki Jabroni Show? How many names can you throw at this? At some point, you have to make six extra large T-shirts so you can fit just the name of the race on the gimmick so people will buy it.
Well, there was one time I'm sorry, yeah. There was one time they said that, you know, there was one time they named the race of SpongeBob SquarePants 300. This was, like, back in, like, 2004. So, I mean, all I could just say is, you know, it could be worse, but you never know.
I don't know. Sometimes I wonder if they're just picking names and phrases out of a hat to name some of these lower-end races. I don't know.
Right.
But my lock also is going to be Kyle Busch. As I was saying before the feed got interrupted, you put Kyle Busch in anything with four wheels, and he is going to be a contender. Save for his bad luck last week at Dover, you put Kyle Busch in a truck, and he's going to take these guys to school in a good way and in a bad way. Once again, if you're a champion on the highest level, don't go to the lower end. What I was saying before the feed got interrupted is, if you're a baseball fan, you know, the Red Sox and the Yankees are tearing it up right now in the American League East. And if the Yankees decided to send Aaron Judge, arguably one of the hottest hitters in baseball right now, down to their Double-A affiliate in Trenton, New Jersey, to give them a boost, that's bad for business, guys. So it kind of equates to Kyle Busch going down two levels to run the truck race, although he's been doing it for years. I don't like it, but I'm just going to throw my hands up and go, hey, my lock this week is Kyle Busch. My sleeper is going to be Matt Crafton. He hasn't won a race this year. He's a grizzled vet. He deserves a win. This is a guy that I've watched since 2004. Followed him closely. Really good guy. Really good driver. There's nothing bad you can say about Matt Crafton. So that's going to be my sleeper pick. Where are we going next, Corey?
So, Saturday night, which is the day before Mother's Day. As long as my computer can go fast enough. So Saturday night we have the KC Masterpiece 400, which will be 8 o'clock on Saturday. I believe it is going to be on FS1. And then, of course, Motor Racing Network, MRN, the voice of NASCAR.
The voice of NASCAR.
Yes. And,
you know, I got to tell you where that comes from. You know, the first time Angela and I went to a race, we got the radio headset gimmick. And she was like, oh, do you want to get the fan vision? No, I want to watch the race, not watch it on a 6-inch television. So yeah. We got the scanner that has all the teams, and then it has the MRN feed. She goes, well, how do you do this? I'm like, well, I always listen to the radio feed. I plug in our favorite drivers, and if something goes wrong or you want to know what they're thinking, I go to that thing. So we also got the microphone gimmicks so we could talk to each other and not have to scream. So you hit the little button, you go, hey, Andrew, I got to go get a beer. Shh. Okay, 10-4, Roger. And then she goes, hey, Chris, I got to go get a Coke. Shh. Okay, Roger, 10-4. And we're listening to the feed, and you know, you're listening to the real feed where after it goes dark, they go, okay, you know, hey, we're going to take a break here and get a station identification. You're listening to MRN, the voice of NASCAR. And then you hear, okay, mics are cold, and you hear them chatter with each other. And every time they went into MRN, Angela would look at me and point like a radio personality and go, yo, you're listening to MRN. And I would just look over real quick. She's like this, the voice of NASCAR. So every time I hear MRN, it makes me laugh because she did it, and I blame her completely. So moving forward.
All right. So I just want to look at the entry list that Jamie McMurray will be on the race on Saturday. Brad Keselowski was one to Kansas a couple times. You got Austin Dillon. Kevin Harvick, who is arguably like the ones to watch in the mile and a half this year. Matt Kenseth is going to be making his return on Saturday. He is going to be driving the 6 Wyndham Resorts Ford. Wyndham Rewards Ford, actually. Chase Elliott, and then you got Eric Almirola. You have Denny Hamlin, Ryan Blaney, Ty Dillon, Clint Bowyer, Ricky Stenhouse Jr., Kyle Busch, Daniel Suarez, Eric Jones, Paul Menard, Joey Logano, William Byron, Ryan Newman, Matt DiBenedetto, Chris Buescher, David Reagan, Kurt Busch, Kyle Larson, Bubba Wallace, A.J. Allmendinger, Jimmy Johnson, Reed Sorensen, Corey LaJoie, Martin Truex Jr., and Alex Bowman and Casey Kane.
Okay, so I'm going to take the lead on this one, but I'm going to go in reverse order.
Okay.
I'm going to go from my hopeful to my lock. So my hopeful, obviously, I'm going off the rails. I know I said I'd pick Chase Elliott until he wins the race. This is my hopeful. Chase, you're done. I can't do it anymore. I cannot lose to Corey for another week with the average finish, which I think is a great gimmick. I think we should do it every week.
Yeah.
So my hopeful this week is going to be Kevin Harvick. Why? Because I have $3,488 worth of Kevin Harvick gear upstairs that I wear every Sunday, not all at the same time. I change it in between laps. Just so you know. And, you know, I just want Harvick to win this weekend. It would be great momentum. That would give him 5 on the season. It definitely pushes him into favorite status. And right now, the status for the playoffs comes down to 2 guys, Harvick and Busch. We've already talked about that. If Harvick can get another back-to-back win, he's already won 3 in a row. Now he won this past weekend at Dover. If he can win at Kansas as well, it certainly cements him as the absolute favorite at this point in the season, so that's who I'm going to pick. My sleeper is going to be Brad Keselowski, as you mentioned. He's won there before. He can certainly win there again. He's in a Ford. The Fords are hot
this
season. And Brad is one of those guys that, A, I like, B, I respect, and C, is due for a win. Now, I'm dedicating my lock to my special family in Canada, the Brown family. And I'm going to share this after the fact. Once it's all spliced together, I'm going to send it to my special family. They're not blood relation, but I consider them my family. This one's for you, Terry. He's been a winner before. He won last season. Not necessarily at Kansas. I don't know where he won, but if I'm going to pick a lock this weekend, at Kansas. I'm going with the number six car of Matt Kenseth making his triumphant return. There is no one other than Kevin Harvick that I want to see in victory lane holding up that flag. And when he does, I hope he looks in the camera and says, "Hey, Mr. Gibbs, you done screwed up, Aaron. I'm back, and I'm coming for you." That's a Booker T reference. Go look it up online. Booker T calls Hulk Hogan, and just look it up. You guys will have fun. But he's going to look in that camera and go, "Joe Gibbs, I'm coming for you." And that's where I'm going to leave it. That's my lock, Matt Kenseth. Sign it now. Whatever. I'm rooting hard for the six car this weekend.
Oh, without a doubt. Yeah, I'd say my lock for me is definitely going to have to be Kevin Harvick because, you know, once again, like, you know, arguably, like, you know, he's one of the guys that has just been so dominant on the mile and a half this year. You know, he's won at Atlanta. He's won at Vegas. Could have won at Texas if he hadn't had any problems and so forth whatsoever. But I really think, you know, this is going to be a weekend where, you know, the Fords are yet again going to be the ones to beat. And, you know, Harvick's going to be my lock. My sleeper is definitely going to have to be Ryan Blaney because I really think this is the time where this kid really needs to win a race sometime soon. And, you know, and there's a lot of good tracks with that. I think that this 12 car can run up to the front, you know, can lead laps and win races and so forth whatsoever. And, you know, I think this kid could probably pull it off on Saturday night. And let's face it, he is due as well. And my hopeful, yeah, I'm going to have to go with Matt Kenseth. I mean, you know, first race being back, especially with Roush Fenway and, you know, I would not be surprised that if, you know, he qualifies good on Saturday night and then hopefully, you know, he can win the race on Saturday because I really think that, you know, the Fords are just going to be tough to beat. And, you know, you might see Roush Fenway in the mix as well.
You know, what's funny when you talk about Matt Kenseth and qualifying well, what I've noticed about him, and if you go back into his history, in Wisconsin where he came up, much like Dick Trickle, that's not a joke, guys. There really was a guy back in the day called Dick Trickle. If you're a younger fan, look him up.
Yeah.
He was a hell of a race car driver. The fastest qualifiers started at the back of the field. So Matt Kenseth, when he started up front, it was a no-brainer. He was going to be a factor going forward.
Yeah.
Whereas I would love to see NASCAR turn it around. If you qualify and you're the fastest, you're in the catbird seat. You're way, way, way in the back. You're in 38th, 34th, however many entries you have. And it's up to you and your car to get forward. It's up to your talent. It's up to your ability. It's up to your perception. Whatever it is, that's how you get to the front. It's easy for the pole sitter. If there's nothing wrong with the car and nothing goes wrong and you have a great day to go pole to pole and win the race. We've seen it a million times. We've also seen guys start fifth, start seventh. You know, if you have a fast car, you're going to get to the front. Let's say NASCAR gets sold tomorrow and by the off chance it gets bought by the same people that own UFC, the Ultimate Fighting Championship. And they say, "You know what? That's a great idea, Jabroni. Let's do that." And they start your pole sitter at the rear of the field. You're going to see some really exciting racing. It's going to be phenomenal. But I get it. It's been this way since 1948. But no matter where Matt Kenseth starts, he finds his way to the front. And I like what you had to say where, you know, Matt Kenseth still has gas in the tank. He's still got a fire under his belly. And he will still find a way. Especially this, his homecoming. He came up with Roush Racing. He was a champion with Roush Racing. And now that Roush Fenway, the conglomerated team, is putting Matt Kenseth behind the seat of the six car, and that six car has been strong. Unfortunately, it just had the wrong butt in the seat. You're going to see that six car be competitive going forward, especially starting this weekend at Kansas.
I would not disagree about that. And, you know, yet again, like, you know, we'll just have to see what Matt Kenseth brings to the table. And, you know, if he can bring Roush Fenway Racing back up on the map, you know, you might even see not only the six car win races, but you might see the 17 car win races as well.
Oh, absolutely. And there's one more message I want to send. I know I mentioned my Canadian family, Terry especially, and I want to throw out a shout-out to Claudia, Kelsey, and Morgan. I don't get drunk. I get awesome. And they'll know what that means. They will absolutely know what that means. And yes. I hope you guys will subscribe. You're too late for the contest, unfortunately. But those are our picks for Kansas. Corey, pimp yourself out. Tell people where they can find you.
So, Facebook, you can find me on NASCAR IndyCar Central. You can just look us up and so forth whatsoever. Instagram, we are at NASCAR IndyCar. Twitter, we are at NASCAR Indy. And also, I want to do this. So, CNJ Speedway Review is also on Twitter and Instagram as well. So, if you go on our Twitter page, as you can see, my phone sometimes can be a little bit slow.
Just a little bit.
Just enough. But so CNJ Speedway Review is also on Twitter and Instagram. So if you go on our Twitter page, we are at CJ_Speedway. CJ_Speedway for Twitter. And then Instagram, we are at CJ Speedway. So this was kind of a project that I made back in like, couple months ago, like when we were like up and running. So if you guys have a chance, like, you know, check us out. Like, again, my Instagram and Facebook, Twitter page, NASCAR IndyCar Central. I do results, standings, and all that. NASCAR CNJ Speedway Review will also do like news and recaps of like everything else that's going on and so forth and whatsoever. So tomorrow is the day I go into prison. No, guys.
Corey's going to prison, finally. Thank you. You know why? It's because of that Jimmy Johnson gimmick you got behind you that I've been telling you for 9 months to take down. Finally, they're locking you up.
Yes, guys, they finally found me. They really did. And they finally found me, and they know where I'm at and so forth. But actually, tomorrow through Sunday, I am going down with my church to the church retreat, which I have been – kind of mentioning about the last couple weeks. And, you know, I probably say, like, out of all this, like, I have a lot of different feelings right now. Like, you know, one side I'm excited, the other one I'm just nervous, I'm just anxious, like, I'm just like ready to go and do this thing. So guys, from Thursday through Sunday, I'm going to be down at the Norfolk State Prison. I am going to be giving a talk on Saturday night to all the brothers behind prison walls on leaders. And from what I heard is everybody loves my talk, and it's going to be like straight out of the park Saturday night. And I just can't wait to do this opportunity this weekend. It's going to be a lot of fun. It's going to be life changing to all the brothers in prison, and it's just going to be amazing. And actually, one little story I want to point out. There was one time my friend was on the prison retreat, and so it was one of the brothers' birthday. And he actually got a birthday card in prison. So, by the way, like, you know, I don't mention the brothers' names for the prison. I keep it all confidential and so forth whatsoever. So my friend ends up giving a talk, and he ended up saying this quote. He's saying, like, oh, I've never been here. I've never been from here to the prison to Timbuktu whatsoever. So as that was going on, the brother sitting at the table, like, he's looking at, like – he's showing everybody his birthday card, thinking like, you know, oh, look how nice it is and so forth whatsoever. So now here's where the story kind of gets a little bit reversed. My friend goes back to the table. So as he's sitting on the table, the brother looks at him and he goes like this. He goes, did you read my card? And he says, no, I didn't read your card. I would never like read your card without asking. And then he said, would you mind if you want to read my card? And he said, yeah, I wouldn't mind, reading the birthday card. So guess what it said inside the card? I never been here from Timbuktu.
Wow.
That is a crazy, but yet again, it's, you know, I hear a lot of good stories from the guys, you know, that have gone to the prisons before, and they've told me a lot of good stories and so forth. So I'm going to be interested to see what interesting stories will come out of that, you know, coming out of this weekend. And don't forget, guys, next Wednesday I will be giving a recap of, you know, how it all went down and stuff and so forth. But I'm excited.
You're limited to 5 minutes. That's all you get. 5 minutes.
All right.
We got racing to talk about. But, no, again, we've talked about it publicly, privately, you and I, Eddie and I, you and Eddie, etc. Fantastic work that you're doing. Amazing. And I couldn't be prouder of you as a partner, as a friend, that you're doing this outreach program to prisoners to maybe, hopefully, turn their life around. So, you know, kudos to you, my friend. I tip my cap. Fantastic. And as we talk about people who are trying to turn lives around, you can go to the Loken Jabroni Show Facebook page. It's no longer tagged at the top, but if you're interested in it, drop us a message. Our fundraiser for April, and now we're into May, but it's going to be our fundraiser going forward every month until he hits his goal. My friend Chad Hatfield and Team World Vision are trying to raise money to bring clean water to countries that don't have access to clean water. They do so with ministry. And also, as an added bonus, this November, Chad Hatfield will be running the New York City Marathon as a part of Team World Vision. Open your heart, open your wallet, go to the Loken Jabroni Show Facebook page. I'm going to do one better. I'm going to go and take this post from the Loken Jabroni Show page, and I'm going to pin it to the top of the CNJ Speed Review page. So all of you folks that watch this show and are fans of ours can donate. Because right now, the Loken Jabroni Show is running a separate deal, which we'll talk about this Tuesday on the Loken Jabroni Show, which has to do with the Solo movie, the Star Wars gimmick. Free posters. There's a prize going on. I don't have the information in front of me. I should have had it. I'm going to get chastised by the producer. No big deal. It's not the first time. Won't be the last. However, on the Loken Jabroni Show page, find the contact. In about 20 minutes... if you're watching this live, go look on the CNJ Speed Review page. It's going to be pinned to the top. Donate to a great cause. You can't do better than doing something good for someone who doesn't have. And it's amazing. Going forward, you made me, Corey, an administrator of the NASCAR IndyCar Central gimmick, which I don't post a lot. I wish I would. And I think I'm going to do more going forward. Not only with, you know, I do a lot on CNJ Speed Review page, but on the NASCAR IndyCar Central, thank you again. I'm glad that you trust me enough that I
could
be an admin. Thank you for that. Guys, don't forget, the number one podcast in New England is the Loken Jabroni Show. It's the best podcast you've never listened to. Go check us out. The best thing about last night, as uncomfortable as I was being in a... I don't want to say a house of ill repute, but it wasn't. It's a shop that sells things for people who are kinky. And one of the great things was a former guest logged on and watched the show, and that was Road Warrior Animal Joe Laurinaitis. And I can't, again, with this show, I have made so many good friends, and it was this podcast, the Loken Jabroni Show, that led me to meet Corey. Although we were sitting 4 feet from each other in New Hampshire Motor Speedway, but he's doing his live gimmick, and I looked over. I'm like, oh, are you a podcaster? No, I got this thing, NASCAR IndyCar. Oh, I have a podcast. Let's see what we can do together. And here we are. So, you know, you make a lot of good friends, and it was great to see Joe on the feed, and I will share this with Joe once the video is slapped together and let him know how much I appreciate him. They're not just guests, they're friends. From Mark Slaughter to Jim Laritz to Road Warrior Animal to Bob Backlund to anybody. Blair the Bull Shark Tugman, the best MMA fighter in New England in his weight class. It is fantastic. I don't want to forget Josh Diekman. I don't want to forget anybody else, but I don't have enough time to name all the names. We're reaching out to people, and when people reach back to us, like Joe did on the live feed. I can't forget Gary Wolf and his lovely woman, Candy, who love racing just as much as we do. Candy always sends little comments and questions here and again. I tell her, like the damn show. You'll find out all you need to know. But Candy, Gary, we love you. Joe, we love you. Everybody, we love you. Don't forget, if you want to donate to the show and make it better, you go to www.patreon.com/LokenJabroni. That's the site, but it's all about the Focus Digital Network, whether it's the Loken Jabroni Show, CNJ Speed Review, Libertarian Focus, what have you. All these shows are linked together. We are one big happy family, and anything that you can provide to us, we are going to give back to you in spades with great content, everything, entertainment, whatever you want. I am looking at an empty beer, so that means I have to go upstairs and we have to close this out for the night. Corey, do you have anything left to say to the people?
Well, all I can just say is, you know, let's get ready for the Heartland this weekend, and, you know, we'll see what Matt Kenseth does in his debut, so I'm pretty excited.
Well, having Matt Kenseth re-debut, I love the way you put that, in his debut. It's his debut in the sixth car.
Yep.
But I'm calling it the triumphant return. This is going to be the king reclaiming his crown. He should have never left Roush Racing before. Was he Roush Fenway? Was that merger before he left?
That merger was around like right after like he left, because I know that started back in I know it started back in 2007.
Okay, so it might have been right around the time he left or whatever. But he went to Gibbs. He ran the 20 car.
Yeah.
I know Loki was a big fan of the 17 car of Matt Kenseth. Then he goes to the 20. Terry, my Canadian brother from another mother. Big ups to you, Terry. I really hope you see this. I'm going to send this to all of the family so you see this. Terry's a big supporter of Matt Kenseth. I texted the daughters. I'm like, what has he done? What is he doing? Now that Matt's out, and this is only, what? He finished out the season in November. Now we are in May. So November, December, January, March. 6 months. Terry's got to be pulling his hair out. What are you doing?
Yeah.
Well, now, Terry, you got your moment. Here comes Matt back in the sticks, back in Roush Fenway. It's going to be a great weekend. I am so looking forward to seeing Matt Kenseth back out on that track. I can't tell you how excited I am. This is going to be phenomenal. However, I'm more excited that I can say 4 for 4, guys.
Yes.
I'm happier than a pig in mud. For Corey Huffnagel, for producer Eddie Focus, my name is Chris Burns. You guys have a great night. Corey, you have a great night.
Thank you. And also to all the moms out there, happy Mother's Day on
How
Sunday.
How could I forget? Oh, my God. To my mom, happy Mother's Day. The gift is going to be a week late. I'm a little Poe right now.
Yeah. And to my mom, I wish her a happy Mother's Day as well. And, Mom, I will see you home on Sunday night when I get out of the prison. And, I'll tell you guys everything about it. And,
okay. I gotta stop you. Okay. First, to Corey's mom, look forward to your kid getting out of prison. Number two, my condolences for having this as a child. Mom, when I get out of prison, I will see you.
That kind of went silent for a little bit there.
That might be the best ending of any show ever. Mom, I'll see you when I get out of prison. Guys, have a great week. Enjoy Kansas. We'll see you next week.
Good night.